Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Broadcasting live from the Liquor Barn Studios, it's time for the Diener Show, presented by OPC Pest Services on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Drew Diener and Keith Pointer.
Hey, we are back here, 93.9 The Ville, ESPN 680, 105.7. We got UofL baseball tonight, right? We'll have that at 6 o'clock. I'm sure we'll do some extended coverage. Just got to figure it out. I mean, I think the order of events today, I think the board meeting at 3, yeah. I believe. And so that'll take probably a half hour-ish. You'll have the press conference after that. We'll carry it all. That's, you know, what we do, you're supposed to do. It might doesn't just... It's sports radio malpractice, but a lot of that going around. But we'll have that for you today, tonight, this evening. I can't wait to see what this dude does at a press conference, man.
Oh my gosh!
I mean, it's like, what is he gonna do?
His walk-up music has to be Joker and the Thief.
I don't know.
Well, it would be if it were fans. Yeah, it's just going to be you media
Well, then there's a fan thing afterward that I think, okay. I bet he will work that room
good
like no other. I know that he, like I think I told the story earlier, he asked to, hey, give me five people I need to call. And I talked to big time donor yesterday, like I said, who was not fired up at all on Monday, was exhausted like a fan. Because the boosters, they're fans. They just happen to have lots of money that they choose to support this program with. And they, he was, Monday exhausted like everybody else. I don't know what we're going to do. Whatever Josh wants. All right, whatever. Tuesday, yeah, Richard, that sounds great. This day calls me. You're going to love this guy. This guy's the greatest. And I heard somebody on Innocent show like, oh, I know some friends that are pulling their money. Well, I don't know what that adds up to. And I don't know who those people are.
Right.
And I understand everybody was ticked off yesterday. And believe me, I was in a crew that was in the same way. I mean, no secret how much I love Richard and wanted to be the coach.
Right.
And, but it's not like, well, I'm just going to sit around and pout because I didn't get my guy. Oh, God, I'm not going to. No, it's like, okay, it didn't work out. I hope Richard either gets, the funny thing is, I wonder if, Richard loved College of Charleston when he was there.
Yeah.
Job's open. I don't know. But It's pretty cool. So, I mean, here we go. Oh, great. Coach McDonald. First of all, Coach, we have a watch party tonight for a baseball game off of a Twitter space last night that I'll tell you about. But you sent me a text that great reports about this guy from your friends in Charleston. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Drew and everybody. I went to the Citadel, and then I coached there. So I was in Charleston for 12 years. My wife was also there. She went to College of Charleston and MUSC. So we're graduates of the universities there in that city. It'd be like kind of Louisville and Bellarmine. And so we know a lot of people, obviously a lot of people in the athletic world. So, yeah, my phone was very popular yesterday when the news broke because I know the baseball coaches and that community. I know the basketball coaches, not necessarily Pat, but I know Ed Conroy very well. We went to school together, and he's the head basketball coach of the Citadel. Of course, he coached with Richard as well, so there's a lot of connections there. So it was interesting to see, because I'm a fan too, right? And
sure.
I'm just hearing what you guys are basically reporting. I'm offering my services to the athletic department, anything I can do, background checks, calls, ask some other people, but it's always interesting when coaches in that athletic department, specifically the baseball coach at the College of Charleston, as well as the baseball and basketball coach at the Citadel, just said a lot of things that I think if you read, I think our fans would appreciate and be excited about. And you know, I could say from being in college athletics for over 30 years, you know, it's you know how this works. You know, everybody gets excited or disappointed for whatever reason it is, but at the end of the day, it all comes down to the results. And I could just tell you, I was encouraged yesterday by a lot of the text messages and what people were telling me.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like, and he likes baseball too, right? So it sounds like he'll be at some of your, at a lot of your games.
Well, you've heard a lot. I've heard a lot of comments, right? You want somebody kind of like a Jeff Brohm, and of course we know Brohm's a big baseball fan, so we always appreciate that. But yeah, it sounds like this guy is also a baseball fan. So yeah, I'd love to have Coach Brohm, Coach Kelsey, and these guys hanging out at Jim Patterson Stadium. So yeah, I was happy to hear that.
I'm just trying to think. I mean, that'd be a really cool shot to see the basketball coach and the football coach sitting at the baseball game watching a game, which it sounds like it's going to happen a lot.
No doubt, America's sport. Come on. So, but no, we're optimistic. We're excited. You know, we like I said, I'm a fan. I love the football games, love the basketball games. It's been a part of my 18 years here in this city, just supporting the other coaches and getting that camaraderie back. So it's exciting. As you said, we're down at Florida State, 6 o'clock tonight, 6 o'clock tomorrow, and 2 o'clock on Saturday. So of the 10 ACC weekends this year, four of them are Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and that's either because the TV says we want you to play on Thursday night, that's because of Easter, hey, if you want to play before Easter, start on Thursday, and then that's the last weekend of the year we're at home before you go to conference tournament.
Yeah, and you guys, so the Easter, the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, so as you're down there, like, I imagine even like your baseball team, imagine your, you know, the players are intrigued when you're hiring a basketball coach, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's I always tell the story, and I learned it was my first year here, and I was, you know, really big on the community service. We got to get involved, and I had agreed for our team to do something. Little did I know there was a home hoop game that night. And, of course, you know, first-year head coach, the players are a little hesitant of me. You know, they're like a little scared, you know. And so they send in one of, like, the fifth-year seniors to, hey, coach, man, we think it's really cool. Like, we're up for the community service. We'll do whatever you want. But we're kind of, like, really into the basketball here. And you set us up to do something, and there was, like, a home basketball game that night. And I was oblivious to it. And
yeah.
I was like, the message is clear. I got it. I won't mess with hoop games anymore. And then, you know, it's funny, as a coach, you start realizing, hey, guys, you play at 6 o'clock on Friday. Are you moving your game? And I'm like, well, how come? Well, the basketball team is at Syracuse, and they're playing at 6 o'clock on Friday night. And I'm like, they're at Syracuse, right? And they're like, yes. I was like, so, but I'm supposed to move my home game to avoid the, you know, and they're like, well, we'd like you to. You know, I was like, okay, all right, I guess basketball, yeah. It's, I mean, I knew it was a big deal, but it's funny when you're inside the walls,
yeah.
And you're hearing these type of things from fans, and we do move games around in February. Like, if the hoop team's playing at 2, you know, we try to play at noon. You know, part of it is the athletic department, and we're just trying to help out because people are usually crossing over with both sports.
Yeah. You know, I guess Will Smith has a little extra NIL money for the U of L baseball program this morning. My God, he got paid yesterday.
Yeah, really. So you knew it was going to happen at some point. And I don't, after seeing what you saw in free agency this year and how long guys were out, and it's just bizarre. This was an unusual year. I was very happy that he locked in a 10-year deal. You work so hard. It's just to get to that point, to get through the minors, to get in the big leagues, to put in – you have to put in 6 years to become a free agent. Now, a lot of the athletes, I don't blame them. They're signing these long-term deals before they fulfill 6 years because, I mean, Will's, you know, you say already 29, like he's almost 30 years old. And so the system is really, I've said it's a flawed system, you know, when like 10% of the league makes 90% of the money, you know, and Drew Ellis, who was a really good big leaguer last year, doesn't have a team. You know, Adam Duvall, who was a phenomenal big leaguer for the last, you know, 5, 6, 7 years, is waiting to sign a deal and ends up signing with the Braves. So it's just, I don't blame these athletes, and I was always hoping he wouldn't have to get through 6 years. Like, I thought he had done enough to say, hey, let's not wait. But then, you know, as much as money as the Dodgers spent this off season, you know, we're kind of thinking, well, I guess they're not going to lock down Will this year. Maybe they will next year. And they ended up doing it.
Yeah, you said 10 years. I'm focusing on the $140 million part. That's a staggering number to everybody. But I assume that's the most of any alumnus of U of L?
For baseball,
yeah.
We've always been saying it takes such a long time. We've had this great run over the last decade or so of guys signing. They get good bonuses. They make it to the big leagues. And, of course, we celebrate it. But it just takes a lot longer than the Donovan Mitchells or the Lamar Jacksons to sign that biggie. And so I'm super happy for Will and his family. And I think it's obviously great for our baseball program, as you know, you always hope, like Henry Davis wanted to give back. It couldn't come at a better time where hopefully our alumni have been saying rally around each other and make a conscious effort to say, hey, what can we do to help the baseball program and keep us competitive?
Well, look forward to seeing you guys tonight. And again, any other stories anybody told you about Coach Kelsey from Charleston?
No, I got plenty of Charleston stories myself, but I don't know if you want to, if I get any good ones, I'll of course share them with you guys. And like I said, I'm always optimistic and you know, can't wait. As I've learned in coaching, you know, as you follow other sports and you live it yourself, and I've had the fortune of talking to many athletic directors over the years, when, especially in the baseball world, when they're looking to hire. I remember when Eastern Illinois was trying to hire a pitching coach, and I sold them on Skylar Mead. And after about like 10 minutes, it dawned on him. He's like, wait a second, coach, Skylar was on your team last year. Like, he hasn't been coaching yet? I said, well, not exactly. I said, but I'm telling you, he's ready to step in and be your pitching coach. And you can hear like the phone, it went like dead silent. He's thinking, I thought this guy was coaching for a year or two. And I said, hey, man, there's experience and then there's bad experience. And I said, this guy just spent a year with Roger Williams. I'm telling you, he's ready to be your pitching coach. And, you know, long story, now he's the head coach at Troy. He was in the regional finals last year. He's a superstar. So I always say, just because the country or the world doesn't realize that it's a star doesn't mean it's not a star. Like, sometimes the stars will shine brightest when they get into that right arena, you know. And not that this guy doesn't have a successful resume. He obviously has a very successful resume. But again, maybe it's not a household name. But when you put that brand above his head, man, those things shine brightly. And you have an opportunity now to have a household name. So I'm optimistic.
All right, Coach, good luck tonight.
Okay. Thanks,
guys. Appreciate it. Dan McDonald, you know. He's a fan. I mean, isn't that a cool image, though, of Kelsey and Brom kind of sitting together? Because I don't know that I recall any time seeing both of them there. I mean, not even Kenny Payne. I mean, was Chris Mack and – no.
No.
Not that I can think of.
No, I
correct, you know.
You know, and Dan's very humble. Dan's a community guy. You'll see him out doing things, supporting things, too. So, I mean, he appreciates that Jeff and now it sounds like Pat will be, you know, doing different things. And the whole entire athletic department gets by. I mean, because at their core, they're all fans of each other.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, I started to chuckle a little bit when he said, you know, we had to move things because the basketball was, you know, and it's like,
yeah, that's
not for the last 2 years. But, you know, so it's nice, though, that they can have that relationship and everybody pull for each other and be supportive.
All right, we have people that waited a long time here. We'll go to Jeremy up first. Jeremy, welcome in. Good morning.
Morning. How you doing, guys?
Hey, guys.
I just had a couple comments real quick about the coach. I'm glad. I'm happy. He's coming. He's a heck of a coach. He's a leader. He demands respect. He's got fire, you know, in his veins. But anyway, like all the people that are mad and upset, you know, we can't do nothing about it now, or you can't. So, I mean, so everybody's got to get behind, be good fans, man, and get behind this guy and show him we got to support him.
Yeah, I don't know what the plus side is of being you know unhappy about it.
Right.
I mean, he's
exactly.
Your guy.
I mean,
you know, he's your guy, and you know, and you hope he wins. There's no point in cheering for your team and hoping a guy loses. You know, it just doesn't make
morale,
any sense.
You know, the morale of the fans, the morale of all of us behind him and cheering, I mean, that makes the team, you know, you got to be. It's either we support him and give it hell, or we're going to end up like we was.
Well, and the other thing about to that point is you don't have anything to complain about yet.
Like, no.
I mean, you know, if he comes out and gets beat by Kentucky Wesleyan in the exhibition and they look poorly coached and he doesn't, you know, I mean, he doesn't assemble a staff, you know, he rolls them out once every 6 weeks or here's a new guy and you're like, who the hell is that? You know, I mean, there were red flags all along, you know, and like Mark has said, you know, he started to see the red flags in the last administration, you know, 6 weeks into the summer. And, mm-hmm. and so, you know, I'm not asking the fan base to fall in love sell
out.
Want.
No, I'm not here as a sell job. But
you ought to just, you know, take a little bit of a wait and see approach.
I'm just asking what's the plus side of
right.
I don't like this. Well, okay. So your option is what? Nothing. and just, you know, and if the dude loses, we're going to hate him.
Right.
And if he wins, we're going to love him. It's that simple.
Yep.
Let's go. Oh, the monitor just went out here. I think Kathy's up next. Kathy, welcome in. Good morning.
Thank you. Clyde says, I'm glad this search is over, so maybe you'll settle down. But here he is.
Hey, Clyde. Right hook, Clyde.
He
right
says,
turn.
I'm just glad this search is over, so maybe you won't talk so loud and be so obnoxious. But, you know, the Winthrop coaching tree has been very, very good. And you go back and see the coaches that have coached at Winthrop and have went to other places, and they've done well. And but I'm just excited. I think it'll be good. His first impressions will be today when he's at the press conference. And I want to see how many of the players we have now that he can keep and maybe bring some of them back, like BHH and some of those, Tylor and, you know.
I don't know. I mean, I don't. These guys might not. They'll be in for a culture shock with this.
Yeah.
You know, I think
so. And give the guy a chance, and it would be interesting to see. I hope that Jeff Brohm and he get together, and Jeff can help him. We know how engaging Jeff is with the community, mm-hmm. and just as long as we don't have Danny Manning, why, that'll be fine with me.
So, all right.
And I wanted to tell you, Drew, I can endorse your ads about the implants. I have one, and they're wonderful. I wish I could have more. I wish I could afford more, but they're worth it. Every dime.
They're real, and they're spectacular. You're right.
Yeah, and tell Chip hi.
All right, I will. Tell Clyde hi. Well, you're welcome, Sofro. There's your mixtape gold right there. That's there you go. Dental implants at Triple Crown Dentistry.
That's right.
502implants.com. Let's go to Furniture John up next. Furniture John, how are your implants?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey.
You know, Bobby V had me all sold up on Hirsch, his Monday, Tuesday
shirts.
Show. So I watched the game
shirts.
Tuesday. Shirts, okay, yeah. Shirts. I watched the game. It was impressive. And, you know, so I was starting to buy in. And then yesterday I hear this Kelsey. I go, who? What? And you look into it, and I did, like a lot of people, and I'm really good with this hire. I think, from my perspective, I texted you. I wanted Richard, too. I think that would have been a whole different energy, too.
Mm-hmm.
But this, to me, gets rid of the Kenny Payne old guard. This gets rid. It's like a fresh wash of all the old crap. And I know Richard would have been assailed because of the dad name and all of that. I'm really interested to see this press conference this afternoon. And yes, I've been sent some of the videos and of this guy. And now all we got to do is wait and see. But I'm real good with it. I'm just glad it's over, as much as anything.
Well, I'm not glad it's over, as I wanted it to continue forever. And I believe me. And around noon yesterday, I was kind of lifeless. I was like, God, we didn't get Richard, and who the hell's this guy, and what's gonna, go on here? And then I don't know. You start giving him a chance, and then some of the video. I mean, I saw the video of him going around recruiting students in that golf cart, just driving around. I was like, okay, I don't know if you do that here, but that's the attitude. You know, whatever the equivalent here is. But, that's probably it. I mean, you're going to see I wouldn't be surprised, like, on some mornings, a dude just drives past us and comes in here. You know? I mean,
well,
we're on campus.
I would walk in, knock on the window like the attorney does,
Yeah, that attorney guy.
I'll tell you what.
Key card,
I'm going to be on the course this afternoon, but it'll be on in a golf cart. And the schedule, as they're laying it out, man, you can carry that live and go entirely through Strebo's show and just knock him off the air, because he already started on the guy yesterday. And I agree with Counselor there that they're going to hate him. They're going to absolutely hate him.
Which means you're going to love him more than anything, yeah.
Oh, hell yes.
Here's what I know. Listening. He's not going to say, I hope to beat him by one.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
No. And the guy, where is his first game against K? Well, next year it'll be at Rupp Arena. So they're going to have all their chance of hate in person that they want next year. But if you guys preempt Strebo all afternoon, that's good with me. And I like James, but I think
sounds
the
like
day
it.
That he needs to be preempted.
Yeah. Sounds like you're a big fan.
No, I like him. Everybody, I wasn't. And everybody told me, wait till you meet this guy. He's the nicest guy when he's not talking about Louisville. And I like James, except for 3 hours every afternoon.
All right. Appreciate it.
So Furniture John's a hate listener.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, they always say, if you like a guy, you'll listen for an hour. If you hate him, you listen for three.
That's right.
Well,
I would just like to say welcome back to Rick Bozich to the land of journalism. He's actually writing pro and con pieces now about the new coach. But it's interesting because there are con pieces, and I hadn't seen that in a couple of years.
Even when there was a lot of con to go around.
Yeah. So if you yeah, if you get a minute, too. you may want to find your way over to Rick's Twitter feed and WDRB.com. He's written about the unpacking the pros and cons of Pat Kelsey.
Maybe it's going to take a little while. I got a little damage.
Yeah. And again, the fact that we're highlighting the cons, he's never won a tournament game, and he's done it. I mean, it's like, dude,
do you want to start? I mean, your guy's con list.
Yeah. I mean, it's read the room, man. Read the city.
Yeah. Read the region.
So.
Yeah.
But welcome back. Welcome back. I can expect fair and balanced journalism from here on out.
Yeah. We'll see. but I think there is, let me say for 8 million time. I absolutely wanted Richard to be this coach. I think it would have done absolutely amazing things. At the same time, I do think there is one of the positives of this is the KP Mafia can disassemble. There's no reason for you guys to still be where, if Richard was here, you'd have all these, you can imagine. And this was a search. This was an actual coaching search. And what happens on searches is sometimes you get told no. Sometimes things go sideways. Right. I mean, whatever relationships you got, nobody seemingly had a stronger relationship than Schertz and Dusty May. Yet Schertz didn't even know that he was going to do that. So does Schertz. So he's got the he has the St. Louis job.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
So sounds like. I mean, it, boy, that's going to. I'm sure we'll look back and laugh about this later, won't we, Josh? Probably not, Dusty. You know, probably freaking not. I'm living in St. Louis.
Yeah. Well, it's better than Terre Haute.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know.
I mean, he's got a hockey team, baseball team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got that going for you, which is
you were dating a six. You had at least an offer of an 8.5 or nine, and you got a seven. So you moved up, but you didn't move all the way.
Basketball
up.
Quality, you know, slightly up. Quality of city, I would assume, tremendously up.
Mm-hmm.
Terre Haute versus, you know, St. Louis.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Let's see. let's see. There's this, golly, they're just blowing up so fast. All right, we'll continue along here. 267-9680 is our number to get in. Text away UPS jobs. Text line 437-9680. We'll let you hop on in here this morning. Don't forget to get to our Sweet 16 contest with $5,000 in DraftKings money on the line on ESPNLouisville.com. It's free to enter. If you have the DraftKings app, and if you don't, use promo code TheVille for the bonus bet. You can look that up. But if you go there, it's only for our listeners, so it's not like this is a national contest. So right now, I think we're at 200 or something. Go there, free to enter, $5,000, pays out top 10. You can see the breakdowns on there, and you know you can have your bracket. What, if it's busted like everybody else's? Well, actually, probably not this year. It's probably not that busted for a lot of people because so many of the favorites.
It depends. If you watched a lot of basketball and you thought, well, this team can get hot and they can upset this other.
Yeah.
And so you pick some upsets, you're screwed. So you need to reassess. Yeah. And if you picked some, what happens to me is I pick upsets.
Yeah.
And I picked the wrong upsets. So now I'm doubly screwed. So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, I could see needing to resuscitate the bracket with 16, you know, with a clean slate.
Yeah. All right. We'll get one line open. If you want to hop in on there, you can do so this morning. Don't forget about Louisville Furniture when it's time to buy furniture. This is, the people that can really help you out, because guys like, oh, men don't have an opinion on furniture. Yeah, we don't sit on the couch. We don't discuss what we're going to spend on, you know, household, you know, furniture with our wife. Yeah, we do. And it's amazing how many guys, you know, Lori's like over there at Louisville Furniture. She's like, I know when it's your listeners, because they come in, you know, and they are rent, they buy. Like, they don't, I think, you know, they come in, they're not shopping, they're buying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Luke used to have a commercial that said that, I think. But they don't mess around. And then they don't mess around getting you the furniture. So it's Louisville Furniture, LouisvilleFurnitureKY.com. I have four pieces of that furniture in my house. I proved it at the UFC party we hosted not too long ago.
Nice.
And let me see these three pieces of furniture, or four. Boom, 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 boom. There you go. There they are. Louisville Furniture online, LouisvilleFurnitureKY.com. But you need to go out there and see it in person out there on North English Station Road. It's Louisville Furniture, and tell me just talking about them right here.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Cause the sun's too bright, the sky's too blue, air's too cold to be thinking about. You're gonna take this hard blue and tuck it away, save it for a rainy day.
Broadcasting live from the Liquor Barn Studios, you're listening to The Diener Show on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Drew Diener and Keith Pointer.
We're back here, 93.9 The Ville, ESPN 680, 105.7, hanging out with you. Save it for a rainy day. It's not going to be rainy today. It's going to be sunny. We're going to be happy. We got to do it. Look, this is I think there's so many people that are just happy to have a coach. I mean, but then there were a lot of people that were very, you know, not happy about this. And I think a lot of people that in the last, I don't know, 12 hours, feeling a little better, you know, and then we'll see what people think today. I love the video. I can't love the shoe untied video more.
Well, I mean, I think that you have the ammunition to be as happy as you want to be or as angry as you want to be, and the choice really is yours. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, if you decide you're going to want to hate watch this guy, then okay, you can. But you know, I'm going to at least choose at the outset to give him an opportunity and come into it with a blank slate, and then if he sucks, I promise you that I'll be tweeting about it. You know, I mean, but if he's great, I'll be happier about that. You know?
Well, let's go to John Bull, who is with us here, and you know, always love the perspective of that capital J journalist, John Bull, and all this. So, John, welcome in. Good morning.
Good morning. Who's your sidekick this morning?
It's the Honorable Keith Pointer.
I was just reading his tweet. You tweet a lot, Keith.
Which one is Titanic tweet?
No, the at least we're leaving the past behind with a guy with ties to Dino Gaudio and Chris Mack. That was a good one.
Well,
although that didn't. Yeah, the guy is from Cincinnati. That's the only down. I'm gonna have to get over that part.
He probably likes Skyline Chili. Oh my God!
I hope not.
You know what's the only thing I have to say about this? Because who knows if this guy's going to be any good. I will say I'll take a high energy guy any day over the latter.
Yeah.
But, so that's promising. But the thing that's freaked me out. You call me a big J journalist. I always love. God, I've been here a long time now. I always love the standards I have to proceed in my life with versus what I've watched the last 2 weeks. You know what I mean? Like, I got to get, if it's sources, I got to get too independent, and we got to worry about getting sued if we're wrong. And, oh, my God, it's just been all over the map with what I've seen everybody claiming is going to happen.
The tough part is, here's the tough part with this story, that you could have very good sources on this, and I think the athletic people, either within the athletic department or from a candidate, and they may be telling you the truth, and then the world just changes that they don't have. Turns out they didn't have the right information. I mean, this whole thing with Dusty May, with him telling Josh Church, I'm taking the Louisville job, so you can go on elsewhere, and then that not being the case, I mean, wow.
Well, that's why we were the most conservatively careful of all the stations last night. Like, we weren't even reporting, we were watching our P's and Q's of what we were reporting, because didn't this guy, totally pimp UMass 20 minutes before the press conference?
Yeah, listen to what I heard about that story. So I talked to someone who's been in college coaching, was in college coaching probably around that time, that he's there for the news conference, and he's meeting with some boosters beforehand, and a guy comes up and introduces himself as the bag man for the program. And he's like, I am out of here.
The bag man?
Yeah. Anything you need to buy a player, I'm the guy.
So the reason he pimped him and went back to, what was it, Winthrop?
Yes.
Was because he thought they were mobsters?
No, I mean, the guy identified himself as, the guy in blue chips, happy.
Happy,
that buys, that buys, that breaks the rules to buy all the players.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, man, here's how long I've been around. I remember, I won't name names, I remember a sports anchor in town going on, cutting into the programming to report P.J. Carlissimo was going to be the next coach of the Kentucky Wildcats when Pitino ended up getting that job.
Didn't the Associated Press also report that? Because I remember this story.
That's why this sports anchor went on the air, because it was AP confirmed. P.J. Carlissimo.
Was it Domini? Who was it?
I'm not telling you.
I'll take that as a yes.
No. It wasn't Domini.
Okay.
It wasn't Domini. Maybe he did it too. Hey, maybe he did it too. I don't know. But
I mean, wouldn't though, back then with the AP reports it, I mean, wouldn't you guys have gone with it at that point or no?
Somebody did, yeah. That's my point. That's my point. It's not even crazy Twitter guys. It's even mainstream media. It's so whacked.
Mm-hmm.
This coaching frenzy stuff.
Yeah, and it's because it's so different now than it was even years ago, because you have so much more ability to access people either via text. You know, everybody's got their phone on them. You're not hoping they're, you know, sitting by their phone at home and having to leave them a voicemail, you know, on an answering machine.
Everybody's got sources, too. Sources. That, you know what? I've got some fantastic sources. I don't know if I trust them enough. There are certain people in this conversation right now who is the source of mine, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, but it's also, when I'm reporting some of this stuff, it's from the person itself, and even they don't know what's going on.
So rewind the tape for a minute. I just cut part of you before you called. So you were a Richard Pitino guy?
Oh, my God. He's my favorite one of them. Yeah. I mean,
Why did you want a guy who's like 90 and 140 lifetime?
Because he'd win here. He'd up the salary cap. I mean, I've seen the guy in action. And you arm him with these facilities and the money that would be here, and he would have, you know, he would have knocked it out of the park. I think he's going to do. You got to remember, he's still only 41. You know, a guy had a head coaching job when he was like 29 or something at FIU. And you know, I've seen him in action.
Keith, who are you on?
I'm for whoever wins, John. You know what I said? You know, everybody I said that they didn't hire, that I wind up coming back and going, yeah, I didn't want that guy anyway. It sounds like sour grapes. But ultimately, I don't care as long as they win. But if they don't win, my Twitter account's a lot better, because I'm like that old Muppet guy that sits up there in the balcony and just makes fun of everything. So
you really are. You're exactly like the old man in the Muppet.
I got the hairline.
Hate
everything. The humor. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exactly. That's perfect. That's what I get from your tweets.
Yeah. Who are those guys? What was their names? Slater and Waldorf, or Statler and Waldorf?
I don't know.
I wouldn't have gotten that. I would have not gotten that.
But
they
hate
everything.
I used to have that as my Twitter profile picture.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I love all the Winthrops, because isn't that the guy's name in Trading Places? Yeah. Eddie Murphy, Trading Places, right?
Yeah, Trading Places, yeah.
Winthrop was one of the rich guys, isn't that? No, that's Dan Aykroyd's
guy. Yeah. No, it's Mortimer and...
Something Duke.
Duke, yeah. Sell, Mortimer, sell.
Well, what do you think of this guy? I mean, the videos you've seen. Well, I don't know. What do you think of the whole thing?
I have no idea. I like the videos I've seen of him hanging on the rim and the running around, and that's great. But nobody has any idea if this guy's going to win here or not.
No.
I mean. Is it true that I read something? I have to ask if everything's true.
Right.
Is it true that this assertion that Josh truly didn't start this coaching search for the last couple of weeks, even though he's known for like a year, is likely going to happen?
No. Look, you've got people that have plausible deniability. I haven't talked to them about the job. What about your agent? What about your agent and some other representative of the university? Yeah, I don't know why anybody would say that. I mean, the times you can actually talk to the first face-to-face meetings with actual candidates, yes, that's probably occurred. But the vetting and the reaching out by various agents and things like that, of course that was going on.
Yeah, he had to be. I mean, he had to be.
Yeah.
That was.
I mean, he had lost everybody in that administration pretty much by January anyway. And then I think he lost Josh with a couple of things behind the scenes I've heard about a week or two later, you know. And I think so, you know, I think obviously you go into the season and you know, well, this may not work. I'll tell you this. The tone was very different amongst people either higher up in the administration or involved with the athletic department in a variety of ways. Because last year, people would say, hey, can you just not kill the guy, you know, that much? And can you calm Blankenbaker down a little bit? You know, and the tone at the start of this year, the message was more of, well, you know, Josh is going to do the right thing if this goes sideways. And I'm like, well, that's a different tone than we had last March, you know? So, yeah, I think everybody knew this was going to happen.
I mean, I have to be honest. I guess I was more dialed in to the Coach Cal situation just because it's a higher-profile guy, situation, a more interesting situation about whether or not you dump somebody, you know, making $10 million a year and $30 million buyout. I was kind of more dialed into that. But I will say this, I from a totally objective standpoint, this last 2 weeks when you get on social media, really proved that Louisville fans care more than, like, almost anybody.
Yeah,
in the country, the frenzy of every time I picked up my phone, 50 billion tweets, and here's my order, here's who I think we should go for, here's the coaching hot board. Like, is it like, you know, my team is Wisconsin, and we're kind of in a similar situation with it. We have a coach who sucks. Like, there's questions about, you know, whether or not he's going to get fired or whatever. Man, the Wisconsin fan base isn't anywhere near the Louisville fan base in terms of the frenzy over over this.
Man, I that went so evident last summer with the TBT, because the amount of people who were having anxiety about the TBT,
because
they were trying to channel their cardamom, and people who told me I was so happy to feel anxious about a basketball game.
Yep,
was amazing.
Yeah, I even like watched a game just because they kind of forced me into it, because people were so into it. And I was thinking the whole time, why are people so into this intramural league 3-on-3 former stars?
Nah, it's 5-on-5.
Nobody cares.
Yeah, I thought it was the 3-on-3 league too when Lieberman was doing it. I'm just like, no, you idiot! It's not the three. It's not three. It's not the big three or whatever. And then you would go to these games, and that Elam ending is the best way to end a basketball game. They'll never adopt in the NCAA. They should do it in the NBA. That's the best way to end a basketball game.
Yep. Yeah, I agree.
If they want
to address the gambling and the over unders and all the spreads, you might want to adopt the Elam ending. Now they might figure out a pivot to how to.
There'll be an algorithm to do that. Don't you worry about their gambling partners.
Yeah.
They'll figure out a way. Did you hear? I don't know if you were up early enough. Did you hear what I said about why they have to switch football practice next week?
No.
The quarterback's getting married. He's got a wedding, so they've got to adjust, like, for his, you know, pre-wedding plans. And I think, you know, so that he's 25 years old. It's like, all right, does he have a member guest we got to worry about after that too, or what?
Well, that's important, Drew.
It is. Oh, I think it's great. I think it's great. I think it's just so great that you have a quarterback of an age that's like, yeah, I'm getting married. You know, can I have the day off and practice? No, we'll just switch practice around. It's cool.
But wait till he does like me and marries the same woman twice. That'll be a bigger deal the second time.
That's why you and Vannetti are such bonded people, right? And Bob Valvano, you guys are all in that club.
There's a lot of people in that Jerry Springer club, man. That's Springer.
John Ball with his Wave 3. So today, like, you know, when there's a weather event, you know, everybody freaks out. Will the hiring of a basketball coach be the equivalent of a weather event?
No way.
Okay.
No. Well, it depends on the situation. Like, I don't think it'll be, like, remember how big of a deal it was when they named Brahm? The stations were doing, sitting around their sports guys for an hour talking and waiting. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Will you be tracking the plane? Is there any?
No. See, no, he's not high profile. It's not like it was when Rick Pitino came in and we had a O.J. Chopper follow.
That day was something. I was talking the other day with Kyle Moats. He's the athletic director at Missouri State. He worked at Kentucky and he worked at Louisville. And we were both just kind of talking about the fact that the Kentucky was playing a tournament game that day in the Sweet 16 against USC, and none of the focus in Lexington was about the game. It was about Rick getting hired here.
I was on the police department in Hendersonville, Tennessee, and they broke into the local sports talk radio there and covered the introductory press conference for the Louisville job in Nashville.
Wow.
And so, you know, so I was actually on duty riding around listening to the press conference, and I was mad. Like, because I was a Denny guy.
Yeah.
And I got over it, but, you know.
Clearly.
But, yeah, but no, it was a big deal. And we had choppers flying around for Kenny Payne.
Rewind the tape.
Uh-oh.
You were a police officer in Hendersonville, Tennessee.
Yes, sir.
Tennessee. Say it right.
Tennessee. Yep.
What was that like?
Coolest story was I got to search Johnny Cash's house.
really?
Wow.
Yeah, I got to search Johnny Cash's house. The most frustrating story was we locked up Marty Stewart for DUI one night, and that got thrown out because he was Marty Stewart. What else? Sammy Kershaw. Yeah, don't forget my Sammy Kershaw stories. He was a turd. Yeah, there was a lot.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah. Pointer's got stories,
you should hang
man.
Out. Come, next time you're at the lake, come by the front porch. We'll
sit
out.
Yeah, you guys are all lake guys, you know. So
how did you then escape Hendersonville, Tennessee?
So I'm from Louisville, born and raised. Met a girl. She had a job in Nashville. We decided to move down there, and I was policing up here. Moved down there, got a job on the police department, stayed there for 3 years until we decided to have a kid and come back. And so that was it. The kid brought us back.
Yep. All right, good. Well, I'm glad you got back to reality.
Job over this here. How about the Calipari with a K headline?
Oof.
Okay. That is probably the most unbelievable gaffe because it was in Lexington.
Yep.
That has raised so many questions. I've been trying to get to the bottom of that. Like, that would suggest – how does something like that happen? Well, that would suggest that – The Lexington paper is running on two interns on the weekend, right?
So, yeah.
And even then, like, there's no way an intern in Lexington doesn't know how to spell his name.
Right. Right. They can't
that
be anybody.
Is so unbelievable that I can't even think of one that's worse.
Yeah, I mean, almost like it's an inside job, because the amount of people who would have to have proofread the headline for the front page of the freaking paper.
We did a pretty bad one. Do you remember when there was one day when, I don't know if it, I can't remember what the story was. It was a big story. It was a coaching change, or I don't know what. Several years ago. And we ran a soundbite from Milt Wagner.
Oh, yes.
And they fonted him U of L fan.
Yes. Mike Lindsay talks about that to this day.
Yeah.
Louisville fan.
Dude,
I mean, yeah, Louisville fan, Milt Wagner.
Like seven of us, when that hit the air, seven of us stood up in the newsroom.
Oh, I bet.
And I went, U of L fan? Who? What? Who did that? And here's the funny part of the story. Like, there were a few people in that newsroom who didn't even get it, who, like, didn't even know.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah. That's crazy. That's how old was the font operator? I'm over under 22 and a half years old.
No, I can't. Yeah. I can't give any details away. I mean, the guilty party was, but the person who it ultimately was responsible should have known.
Yeah.
Was no intern.
I love
one of the responses I got was, well, he's still a U of L fan, though, too, isn't he?
Yeah, they're not wrong.
Oh,
yeah.
U of L legend, the winning reason they won the four.
But listen, that's not in the same galaxy as misspelling Calipari.
On the headline, above the
fold. In Lexington.
I mean, you can misspell Diener any which way you want in any city in America, but to misspell John Calipari with a K, a misspelling that I've never even considered.
Right.
You know.
Well, I was in Lexington Friday and Saturday of last week.
Oh, how are they doing?
Oh, my God. The fact that they actually tried to somewhat similar, you know, get his name out there at all, that it didn't start and end with an expletive. I mean, they were, it was not, he needed to take a week off because he was the most unpopular person in the entire town.
Well, that was a whole different situation. Like, what are they going to do? Like, where would you go if you pulled the plug on Calipari?
Well, I think they've had a chance to take a look down the interstate and see how swell these coaching searches are going. And, you know, and the fact that there's 33 million reasons not to, they're like, you know, we'll stay here for right now. Now, I heard, and I haven't confirmed it, but I heard that the buyout either goes away or goes down precipitously next year. So if that's true, and for sure if it goes away, and I don't know that, but if it goes away, then... You know,
well, I hope it doesn't go away for the alternative of a lifetime contract.
No.
I was told it only goes to $25 million.
It goes I haven't done any diligence, and actually tried to read it. But I mean, it'd be an interesting dive to see what's it going to cost if you know $8 million.
Is it considered a death threat if you buy out a guy with a lifetime contract? Hey, we're going to buy you out of that lifetime contract. I mean, I don't know.
Hey, I'm just looking to get a lifetime contract myself. That seems like a really good deal, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you can't get it in this market, I don't know who can. You know.
Hey, This is TV news, bro. This is you're all expendable.
You're right. You're right. All right. So give us the latest Derby story you've worked on that you've loved in the last week.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I don't know about you, but I have never had very good interviews with Pat Day in my life. I don't know what if it was me or if it was something was going on. But I had a sit down interview at his house last week, and it was one of the better interviews. It's probably the best interview I've been a part of in years.
Wow.
Incredibly animated. So the piece, this 10-part series on great Derby moments, that particular piece is going to be on 92 when he finally won the Derby. It's one and only. And but the fascinating part of the interview was when we were talking about, you know, what I think what a lot of people forget about when Pat won in 92 was he had a three-year stretch in 88, 89, and 90 where he got second place. And he goes into great depth in when we were talking about those races, about what, how, why he should have won and what really happened. And I'm going to get into it in the story, but I'm also going to do something I don't do very often. I'm going to post the entire interview with him, like a really long interview, because it was one of the best interviews, man, ever. Like talking about how much he misses now when he watches. The thing he misses is my old Kentucky home coming out of the tunnel and the roar of the crowd. But to get back to my point about the near misses, he maintains Easy Goer was a better horse than Sunday Silent.
I do, absolutely. You know what? That's been for me. That's so funny. That is my all time take growing up. That horse finally won in the Belmont.
Yeah. His reasoning for that was he knew going into Derby Day that he was going to lose, even though Easy Goer was better, because the track came up exactly the same condition that it was the last time Easy Goer was there under those conditions, that Easy Goer got beat bad, and he knew that he was going to get beat. The year before that, Unbridled Summer Squall, he had a choice. Pat had a choice of either Unbridled or Summer Squall. He said it's not even a choice. He's going Summer Squall, was a way better horse, and he said during the race, he's flying through there. He said, I had a Ferrari on the water. Everything I wanted to do, the horse was just scooting by everybody, turning for home. He's like, I'm going to win. And the only question was how much I'm going to win by. And the famous wall of sound hit him. Mm-hmm. And he didn't know in the race what went wrong, but the horse started to freak out and do some weird stuff. Mm-hmm. And then when he got beat by Unbridled, and then when they got to the finish line, the horse took off, and like he couldn't rein him in. He could have done another lap hard. And he said it wasn't until he got home and he watched the replay that he saw exactly what happened. When he straightened out and hit that wall of sound coming off that last turn, the horse completely wigged out.
Wow. I mean, don't try to hack me anymore, but my passwords, a lot of them used to be Easy Goer something. I mean, not that horse was just my all-time, one of my all-time favorites.
And he came right back into Preakness and wiped out Unbridled. Like, he was right. So he said it's not only about picking the right horse, it's about the right day and the right conditions. The year before that, when he got second on 49ers, go back and look at the race. I looked at all these races. He was flying up on Winning Colors. Winning Colors barely stayed up. So yeah. Pat had three tough beats in a row before he finally got his due.
With a horse that probably nobody thought was going to win, right?
I mean, that was interesting, too. So I remember that really, really well. That was the Arazi year, right?
Oh, remember gosh. Arazi was the biggest phenom. The move he made in that, you know,
correct.
In the Breeders' Cup was still to this day the greatest move I've seen by a horse.
Yes. Yeah, the call. I mean, Arazi goes right by him.
Yeah.
Like, Pat was in that race on a different horse, and he was there. He was telling me about what that was like to get absolutely obliterated by that move by Arazi. And so then fast forward to the Derby, he's on Lily T at 17-1, and here comes Arazi. Arazi made the same move in the Derby, circled by everybody again. And he thought, oh, man, well, here it goes again. But he got in the stretch, and he looked up at, I believe, Pat Valenzuela was the jockey, he said, and he was watching the jockey shaking him up to get him moved on the stretch, and he could see Arazi had nothing left. And he was like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
He's got nothing. And he hadn't even asked Lily T yet. So he shook up Lily T, and Lily T starts moving. And he's like, yeah, I got this.
Yeah, hang on. Here you go. I've got the call here, the one you're talking about. If you, Chase, you can pop me up there. I think I got it.
Trando in the lead, but look at this, Arazi. He's come from last to second, and he's taking a pull on the turn. It's Bertrando with Arazi on the outside, and he's struck the front. He's still got a quarter of a mile to go, and it's Arazi, a class performance. He's come wide.
That's not the call, though. It's the wrong call.
No.
Yeah, that's the wrong call.
No, that's some Euro.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell that is. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, what the hell was that?
That's the Timu call.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway,
he totally freaked out because he could see it by the, you know, the jockeys know when you got no horse left.
Yeah.
And then Rossi, sure enough, was empty, and he makes his way up through the field and wins it, and he just talks about the feeling going up. Anyway, it's just a great, great interview with the inside story on all these years that that was when I was falling in love with racing. I moved here in late 88. Started going to the Derby, you know, Sunday Silence, Unbridled, and I remember all those races so well.
Yeah,
and to hear the backstory and all this stuff, what was really going on, really was fascinating to me.
All right, John. Well, we'll look forward to it, man, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, Drew, Keith, see you, man.
See you, buddy.
See you. John Bull, even for him, great appearance, even by John Bull standards.
Oh, yeah.
That was good. That was vintage John Bull right there. All right, we'll continue along here, 267-9680, our number to get in. Text away, UPS Jobs, text line 437-9680. Fitness Market, get on over there. You're going to be somebody who's looking for maybe it's exercise equipment, maybe it's a sauna, maybe it's a cool tub. We saw yesterday, saw all those. It's Fitness Market, great family business. Chris, Sarah Wider, it was great talking. I couldn't leave yesterday. Sarah was hounding me about Richard Pitino. Hounding me. Like, I'm like, I don't know. It was all quiet yesterday. But you'll find out when you go over there, they're going to take care of you. They're going to have the same interest in you as she had in finding out what was going on with the coaching search. So get on over there to Fitness Market, online at thefitnessmarket.com. You're gonna see what they can do for you. So it's Fitness Market, and Tom here is talking about him here on the Diener Show. All right, we'll continue here. We'll get back to I know. Sorry, 5 minutes of Derby talk there. Sorry. I don't know, but we'll more Pat Kelsey. We should play some of that sound of him going around like the various people trying to rally the troops.